Well, we hear a lot more of that when we get the rest of them back, but that was good, young men. We appreciate it very much. We have some of our missionaries now that were college students, Michael and Amy Trumpo, they're back there, and they shared with me that I think tonight will be the last time here at the church. They're fixing to go back to the Philippines, and it's a little unusual because Brother Michael let Amy out of the nursery and she's with him back there. And I'm going to ask them to come up, both of them. You too, Amy. Somebody can help you with the kids there. And that's right. You can bring him up. And y'all just say a word to us and how it's going and how you... They've been on over here a little bit on renewing their deputation efforts a little bit. And... hope you remember to pray for this couple. They were here with us in the church and the college and met each other, got married, and wound up going to the Philippines and doing a good job over there. Go ahead, Michael.
Thank you, Pastor. Of course, we're so glad and we're so thankful for tonight. We'll be leaving Sunday night, go to South Carolina for 2 weeks. We'll be to South Carolina, Georgia, Virginia, and North Carolina for 2 weeks, then fly to California for a week, and then fly to the Philippines. So please pray for us. I would like to share a little bit here, a verse that everybody knows, but 2 Thessalonians says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith." So please pray for us. Understand that as we minister to the northern part of the Philippines, we've mentioned quite a few times, but we are on the mountainous area, and there's no 911 if there are problems over there. So you please pray for us. We really appreciate all the prayers. And just a quick testimony with that soul winning marathon. I believe that's a trademark, if you will, for college graduate of Landmark. We always go back to that soul winning marathons. And when I found out that we'll be in Jacksonville for that week, I told Dr. Pitts, I said, can I come for the last day? So I drove there 2 hours. And it's a blessing. I was with the pastor's son, James, and he was able to lead his first soul to the Lord. And he said, and so he was talking to the guy, and of course he can't find the words to say once in a while, but I just kept him talking. And after the prayer, he said, we went out in the street, get all the information. He said, did he really get saved? That's the first time I led a soul to Christ. And I rejoice, and I look back and said, I said, oh, that's how you feel when you first lead somebody to the Lord. And sometimes we get used to leading people to the Lord, and we forget the excitement. And what a blessing to be able to see the souls there. And Amy can preach now.
Do I have to say something? Am I supposed to say something? Okay. Well, I'm ready to go back to the Philippines now. I'll just leave it at that. I don't know what to say, sorry.
They're doing a good job over there, and hope you pray for them. Like he said, it's not like it is here. If they get in trouble, they can't call 911 or do some of the things. Maybe go down to the corner drugstore for a prescription or something that they can't hear so easy. I've been over there, and I know Brother Scotty Drake's been over there probably more than once, and some of the rest of you. A lot of souls getting saved in the Philippines. We praise God for the Spirit of God working over there. And truthfully, I see some of the mission fields maybe doing more right by the things of God than we're still doing here in America. And thank God that America has sent missionaries around the world and the gospel around the world, and we still have done so much. But look what's happening now. The anti-Christian spirit that is so prevailing now in America. Don't have a lot of time left, but I'll say just a little bit about what's just current in the news. If you watched any news, I watched just a little bit this afternoon before it was time to get back to church. But with all the bad stuff going, trying to sell out Israel to Iran and let Iran get the nuclear bomb, and it's just so dumb, so stupid. Somebody said, where's common sense? It's long gone. But even with that, you'd think that'd be the spotlight in the news at least. But something overshadowed that in the last few days. If you was watching any news at all, what overshadowed it was a religious bill passed in Indiana. And tried to pass in Arkansas, already existed in some other states. And in fact, the religious protection bill was passed long time ago, and even in 1993, Bill Clinton, of all people, signed it into law. Wasn't a lot of fanfare made about it. I was fighting government somewhere in the 90s. I'm not sure, probably all of the 90s. Still am, by the way. But I called some Christian attorneys, and I was surprised when I said, wouldn't the Religious Protection Act that President Clinton signed, wouldn't that be pertinent here to what we're talking about? And the Christian attorney said to me, what are you talking about, preacher? And I said, what do you mean what I'm talking about? You're the attorney. You're supposed to know the law. And I actually, Scotty told him about it. And he found it, and it was some help. But here's the whole thing. Are Christians so asleep that things like that can just go like the wind, blow on by? That's why we're in the mess we're in right now. And that's why right now, something that God calls an abomination and puts a death penalty on in the Old Testament is now being accepted, and more than accepted, it's being pushed, and you're wrong if you don't accept it. If you want to look at a scripture on it, look at Leviticus and mark it in your Bible. So mark it in your Bible in case somebody tries to tell you the Bible's not against homosexuality. Go to Leviticus chapter 18 and just mark a few verses, and in the context you can read it later. But I keep reminding you, anytime I go to the book of Leviticus, that's a book you don't read for devotions. I know that. It's a book you probably speed through so you can brag that you read through the whole Bible. I understand all that. But you ought to know this about the book of Leviticus. God is speaking more directly in that book than any book in the Bible. Now, I understand Moses penned it, and God's speaking about it, but what I'm saying, in the first person, God, the Lord God Jehovah, is speaking more directly in that book than any other book in the Bible. So you ought to, all of them are equal in importance. They're all important, but you ought not just shun it, because God is talking. Amen. So I'm looking right here in the 18th chapter of Leviticus. Verse 21, thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech. Now, the seed is your children. Pass through the fire to Molech. That was a heathen god. Neither shall thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. I don't want to get off on Molech except to say he was a great big old molten image. If you think something like a big old Buddha statue, he was a big image like that. The priest of that false religion would be around behind it, and it had an open door in it like a great big heater or oven, stove. And inside they would build a fire. That metal that thing was made out of would turn red hot. It had its arms out like this, and the people would come forward and lay their little babies in the hands of that molten image and let them roll into its open cavity in its stomach where the fire was. Sacrifice the babies to Moloch. So when God condemns it here, they knew what he was talking about. I won't go further on that except to say God hates the killing of babies. Yeah. It don't matter whether it's a priest behind a molten image or whether it's a doctor with a white coat on in a laboratory somewhere. Amen. He still hates it. Amen. Now look at verse 22. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. Now mark that. Who said it? God said it. Go on down, verse 23. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down. You say, that's crude, uh-huh. But they still have in the past, they have laws in America passed against that. And right now in the Florida legislature, the last session or two, they quietly, because they're embarrassed about it, but they passed a bill against that. All right. Didn't make much in the newspapers, did it? Verse 24. Defile not yourselves in any of these things, for in all these things he's named, the nations are defiled which I cast out before you. So God is telling you what he thinks of this hideous sin that is going on. Now, I flip your page over. I was in chapter 18. Go over to chapter 20. Chapter 20, and I'll read one more verse on the thing here. If you want to see the penalty of it. If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. Now, do you know what I just read you is already in many sections, Canada for one, over in several parts of Europe, and soon coming to America, will be outlawed for you to stand up and read from the Bible. I'm not joking. I mean, definitely already some court cases have been held in Canada over preachers that got up with a King James Bible and read that. That's where we're at in the world right now. What I'm saying to you is what we're seeing is just amazing. This Indiana religious bill, Arkansas, and whatever the other states. What amazes us, though, is to see the outcry of all that have come in to join with the evil, amen, this evil, sinful crowd,
amen,
and cry discrimination. Yeah. Discrimination is a word now that is just used to steal constitutional rights.
Right.
To abuse freedom everywhere,
right,
you turn. Do you know everybody that lives is discriminatory?
Right.
If you put on a white shirt tonight and left your blue shirt hanging in the closet, you discriminated against it.
Right. Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
If this morning you ate ham and eggs instead of oatmeal, you discriminated against oatmeal. If you bought a white car instead of a red car, you discriminated against the red car.
Right.
We all make choices.
Amen.
We all have different tastes.
Right.
Otherwise, you'd see every man running after the one woman. They'd all think there was only one. She was the most beautiful one. Adam's the only one could ever say, honey, I love you like no other woman in the world. We are different. We have different tastes and we make different choices. And we have a right to in America on the Constitution. But boy, that's fast being taken away.
Amen.
So what this is all about is extortion against any Christian that holds a conviction that would keep them from furnishing flowers to a gay wedding,
right,
or baking a cake for it, or playing the piano for it, or singing at it or letting it be held in their church. And that's where the issue, we had a call last week where the secretaries was wondering if we were being set up on a wedding thing, because it's happening to churches.
Right.
Preacher friend of mine's in a lawsuit right now in America. What is going on is they're not satisfied for you just to ignore them. They want you to be pro their cause. I wouldn't take time to do it, but if you would read the story in Genesis of Lot down in Sodom,
right,
when the homosexuals tried to get with the angels, they were not, Lot couldn't bargain with them, and Lot hit a low when he offered them his daughters, but they couldn't be, they tried to use force to get to those angels. And of course, they made a bad mistake.
Right.
They also are going to find out they're making a bad mistake when Jesus sets this thing up. But this far left, liberal, anti-God, reprobate mind, that's what they are. They've turned over to a reprobate mind crowd.
Right.
Today is just what you see if you read the story of Sodom and Gomorrah.
Right. Yeah.
Just exactly that. You got to be pro. Government orders now, you've heard me say this in several places, and the military is really being hurt with this. Chaplains are being dismissed, careers ruined, because they will not go along with the gay stuff,
right. So-called.
By the way, they ruined a good word when they messed up the word gay. Used to use that, and it meant what it meant, but not anymore. You stole it. They messed it up. We got a song on the radio that makes me laugh every time I hear it. It's an old song. It's talking about God's beauty of his creation out there, and it says, all the cows in the meadow are happy and gay. Now, that was written a long time ago when gay meant the right thing,
right.
You know. That's crazy, isn't it? But here we are, coming now to where I heard the newsman tonight, just as I was getting dressed for church, trying to interview a congressman who was on the right side saying the right things, and the newsman had to speak up. See, no longer are they reporting, now they are debating.
Right.
They are contending for one side instead of just being reporters anymore.
Right.
So he spoke up and he said, but you don't want your state boycotted. Well, does that make something right or wrong?
Yeah.
I mean, under threat of boycott, financial boycott, you better kill this bill. Not whether the bill would be right or wrong or the issue's right or wrong, it's just pressure.
Right.
They tried to put pressure on a lot to get in the door to get a hold of the young man that showed up as angels. That's the same old stuff, folks. Same old fallen nature everywhere you look. And you know what those men in Sodom were trying to do? Bring you into our sin. Now this is where gangs, and this is where we try to keep young people out of gangs, and we talk about running with the wrong crowd, because it's amazing the way the devil moves on people to get others to do what I'm doing. Every drunk wants somebody else to have a little drink with him, and the homosexuals want to bring you in and accept their lifestyle and even praise their lifestyle, and yet God calls it an abomination and had a death penalty on it.
Right.
I really think that all the homosexual weddings ought to be held in Saudi Arabia in a mosque. Some of you don't get that. It's amazing how the same liberal left crowd that's promoting and appeasing and bribing and elevating Islam forgets that Islam kills homosexuals.
Right.
They hang them. They hang them. Or worse. Yeah. And yet here in America, characters like Al Sharpton up there Oh man, I have to flip that thing when fellas like that come on. I have a trouble in my spirit over junk like that. Amen. And then Hillary Clinton, she texted a little message against the bill in Indiana. Things like this shouldn't be happening in America. I agree. She shouldn't be happening in America. Amen. But anyway, that's where we're at right now. And in this kind of atmosphere, I'll finish by just saying this, in the kind of atmosphere I've just been describing, and you see it everywhere, what is the answer? I recognize in the population today there's a crowd that knows nothing and does nothing. But then there's another crowd that does know and still don't do anything. And I hate to say that's many of us, including myself. We don't do all we could, though we know. But there's one thing that we better keep doing. Government is never going to be fixed. This world is never going to be fixed. Politics is sure not going to fix it. Wars are not going to fix it. That's been history. Only thing that's going to fix it is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And He is coming. So my job now, knowing all that I do know about it, is to do what these young men was testifying about tonight. Getting folks saved. Getting folks saved. I'm going to contend against evil every way I can, speak against it every way I can, but I know the only answer is to get everybody saved we can before the Lord Jesus pulls the curtain. And He is coming, and He is going to set up a kingdom of righteousness, which is not existent nowhere on planet Earth now. And that is the final answer. In the meantime, say, well, what can we do about it? What we can do about it is keep telling everybody we can about the Lord Jesus and how they'd be saved. That's it. That's why the missionaries, that's why soul-winning marathons and everything else that we're doing. That don't excuse us to go along with and be intimidated. I probably one night soon, maybe soon, I'll have to have a little quick business meeting in the church, and I'll have to read you something that maybe CLA, Brother Gibbs, and others have written up that they recommend that we vote into our bylaws and corporation papers that will say something to the extent our stand against homosexual weddings in the church. Because that's the test case they're coming and hitting a lot of churches with right now. See, they're doing it to businesses now. Right. Business, you better bake me a cake or sell me the flowers or sing at my wedding or what else, or you're out of business. And there's some people they've put out of business that would not compromise their convictions. But see, the churches are next in line. Right. If they can do that to private businesses, then churches are next in line. Now, the Christian attorneys are saying, let's get prepared and put these things in writing. However, what you're seeing right now is not what is the law, but the pressure of intimidation and extortion. That's why the governor in Indiana is caving. That's why the one in Arkansas, the last thing I saw as I walked out tonight, he is caving. It does amaze me that their so-called lobby or their political pressure group has as much power as they do. And the only thing I'd attribute it to is the devil's power himself. But just a little more time in our